The Elvis Cast with Grant Bench.
Hello and thanks for joining us for part two of an interview with Elvis author Paul Bellard. Our chat continues looking at one of Paul's recent books, The King of the Rings.
Well, there's a second volume and I'm working on the third one. I think it's going to be the last one because in auctions, there are two things. First, you can see things are recycled.
Yeah.
Meaning that people want to make money on it, of course. So they get a ring or other things and they put them in the next auction hoping that it's going to get more money. And second, you're starting to see things that maybe they didn't belong to Elvis, okay? And they're just put... I mean, it's easy to take a ring and say, okay, well, it was Elvis, you know.
And some people will take the chance, but fantastic books. And we should actually mention your current new book that I was having a look through yesterday. And that's Houston 1970. What can you tell us about Houston 1970?
Yeah, that's the first book I did of the 70s because my goal is to publish from the 50s to the 60s, but I'm already up to 30 books, you know, so. And I haven't even covered all the 50s. I probably have another 8 or 9 books for the 50s if I want to make the 50s complete. And I haven't touched the 54 and 55. But I like the show in Houston because, I mean, the guy looks tremendous. I mean, he's thin. He went through the 60s going through all those movies and the songs. And he went and he had the show in 68. And in 69, he went to Memphis and recorded Elvis in Memphis. And he went to Las Vegas again, which was a tremendous success. And that's the first concert that he gave outside of Las Vegas since 1962. You know, and I mean, if you see the picture in the front where he has that Gretsch guitar, you know, because he's probably playing one night, you know, so that's when he was playing one night that he was taking that guitar. And he gave 3 shows, so there was enough to make a book. And the sound was not that great. I mean, when you listen to the sound, it was an open stadium, and it's very hard to get a good sound in such a large space. But he was in the middle of the, more or less in the middle of the playing ground, on the little platform, I mean, he looks tremendous.
There's that great press conference before where he's sitting there with a karate type style and. He just looks every bit the king, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And at the end, he gives another press conference, and he gets a watch, a Rolex watch, and he gets also I don't know how many golden records.
Yeah.
From all the hits that he had from Elvis in Memphis, you know, In the Ghetto and Suspicious Minds, Don't Cry Daddy, and all that. And as you said, I mean, he looked. I mean, the guy at the time, where was he?
Was he in the 35?
He's in mid-30s already. And he looked like a Greek god. I mean, no doubt about it, you know, just. And it's very strange, okay? Because as I said, you know, I'm in my mid-70s and I know people that are even older and younger. And you're still excited about that guy. I don't know the pool that he has. I mean, I listen to Lordy, Miss Cloudy, or One Sided Love Affair, or Mystery Train, and songs like that, and they haven't aged a bit.
No, I mean, and I get people saying to me all the time, you know, who else, do I listen to anybody else? I'm like, well, I've got the best, why listen to the rest?
Well, I'm not like you. I mean, I listen to other singers. I listen to classical music. You know, I mean, Beethoven is still the best classical composer for me. But the fact that those songs that you can listen to, even Good Rockin' Tonight, even That's All Right, Mama. And by the way, people said Elvis didn't play the guitar. Yes, he was not. But as an acoustic guitar player, you know, if you listen to That's All Right, he knows what he's doing with his guitar, right?
Yeah, well, even in the 68 special, he could play it pretty good too.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
So that's one thing with Elvis that people sort of, they see the, you know, the image, the jumpsuit and everything, but what, you know, you recognize, and I certainly do, as what a talented musician he was. He knew how to put a song over.
Yeah.
And like you said, you can listen to those songs anytime, and if you can't stop your foot a tapping.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, and you listen to some Johnny Cash and Roy Orbison and who else? They're very good, but they're dated. The sound is dated.
Mm.
It doesn't happen with Elvis.
No,
and that I cannot explain.
Now you mentioned that you're looking at writing a book about the Colonel. Are there any other projects that you've got in your mind at the moment?
Yeah, I've been working on the 3 days that he spent in Fort Dix when he came back from the army.
Oh, that was the press conference and that with the photos be amazing.
I wrote a book about that already. I called it the 7 days in March. You know, like the movie 7 days in May. Remember?
Yeah.
Then the 7 day in March cover Elvis leaving from Germany, then going back and stopping in Scotland, then stopping in Newfoundland, and finally coming to Fort Dix, and after that Memphis. So maybe I have, in that book I have about 40 pages about Fort Dix, but I found so many pictures now that I made a book about those 3 days in Fort Dix. That's about 200 pages, and mostly pictures. You know? So I think. And once again, I mean, he looked. I mean, I don't remember when he came out of the army. His hair was very, you know, that was really a pompadour, you know.
Yeah.
And he looked very great there. He looked great, like he did on the Frank Sinatra show. And it's a shame that they cut his hair when he went to G.I. Blues and all that. That wasn't the same, you know.
Yeah, the hair moving when he's singing stuck on you is pretty classic.
So it's. I mean, for me, he's a mystery because I don't know why I become attached to him like I am, you know, and I still am. And it's something that I think the young people now, they don't know, because who has the Elvis stature nowadays? I mean, and the last thing, I mean, maybe there is Bruce Springsteen, but apart from that, who lasted so long, you know?
Yeah, and every time somebody come, they always mention them, are they the new Elvis, or they get measured against Elvis's achievements. And sometimes it's not really a fair battle because he didn't have the internet and all the social media and stuff that we have today. No. I mean, to be able to do it like for you in young boy in Paris, you heard the music and saw the pictures.
That's right, yeah. And when it's the same with the Beatles, when they came on the Ed Sullivan show, what is it, 64, I think. And they beat Elvis. There are more listeners. Of course there were. I mean, there was almost 10 years between them, between the two events. You know, of course things change.
Yeah.
You know? And new people had more money. They were more TV. Of course they're going to do better. But no, you have to go back in the context of the 50s, you know?
Exactly. That's you look at Elvis's career there. Yeah. Now, Paul, I was wondering, have you had the chance to visit Graceland before at all?
No. No, I'm not. I mean, I'd like to go just to see it, but I'm not really into that. It's not like I'm not in his cookbooks, or I'm not into his cookbooks or things like that, or what he was doing outside of his... Of his career, you know. It's just, so I know you've been to Graceland and you enjoyed it, and I'm sure I did. I would, but you know, you're talking about, you were talking before about the 70s and Elvis in the 73-74, and I'm gonna be honest with you, if I had the chance to see Elvis in 74-75, I don't know if I would have gone, because I had seen him in the 50s, I had seen him in the 60s, and I knew what was going on in 73, 74. Okay? Mm. And so I don't know. I mean, I was not in the States at the time when he was at Madison Square Garden. I mean, if I had been, I would have gone.
Yeah.
But after 73, it kind of, you know, that was the slippery slope, okay?
Yeah, it's hard looking back because obviously I was only, you know, 5-6 years old when he passed away, and the legend just grew from there. And I always wonder what the press was going along while he was performing those last few shows.
Yeah.
And the Elvis fans were so protective that it's hard to believe that they filmed that last TV special.
Oh, that I can't watch it. I never watched it. I mean, I've seen excerpts because, well, first I've seen the movie Elvis, you know, when he's singing at the end. But it's so heartbreaking, you know.
Unchained Melody, I cried
in the movie, you know. And I mean, it's just, I'm not ashamed to say it. And it was such. I mean, you look at his career, and it was such a waste of talent. I mean, he could have done so much more, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what gets you in the end, is that what we've left with, you know, is awesome, but the possibilities?
Yeah, it's the tip of the iceberg, okay?
Mm.
And, you know, when he had the chance to make the movie with the Barbara Streisand.
A Star Is Born, yeah.
I think it came too late for him. But if he had come in 1974, I think they should have gone ahead with it. He should have taken 6 months to get in shape and do that movie, because it would have given him a chance to show what he could do, you know. And so what? He was playing a washed out singer. Well, I mean, Parker didn't like that, but so what? You know, it could have been a great role for him.
And he always, when you look at his career, he needed those challenges. The 68 special, yes. He met that challenge, going to Vegas, you know, doing the Houston Astrodome, MSG, and then Hawaii. But after Hawaii, there was nothing really to...
There was nothing to conquer anymore. You know?
It still staggers me that after Aloha of Maui, this big high, 2 weeks later, he's back in the showroom at the Hilton.
Yeah. Yeah, and he didn't like it.
No, and you can tell just the creative disappointment. I think Jerry Schilling's got it right. Why we lost him? Creative disappointment.
Exactly. Yes. And when he fired Parker, it's because when he came to Vegas in '69. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Okay, even Parker. So there is the first night there, and he's an amazing success. So Parker signs a 5-year contract. You know, on the table, on the napkin, with the owners of the Hilton. So in 74, it comes at the end of this contract, and he said, "Okay, geez, I'm the Vegas is on my rearview mirror. I'm not going to see it. It's great." And he start on top of that. Also, he start ranting on the stage, you know, and telling them, you know, you mother, blah blah blah, and all that, and. And Parker is so mad that he comes into his room, and they got into a shouting match, and he fights Parker. And that's another thing that bugs me, is that Parker had put his father as the controller of Elvis' finances, you know, like he was his accountant, you know. And when Parker comes with his $2 million, oh, yeah, you can fire me, but you owe me $2 million. I mean, all they had to do is just go to an auditing company and said, okay, well, look at that thing and tell us what you think. I mean, the guy was an illegal immigrant. Tom Parker was not his name.
No.
I mean, I still don't understand how he could sign all those contracts, since he was not even the person he pretended to be. So I'm not a lawyer, but I think those contracts are void. I mean, they don't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, the question to yourself is, how much was Elvis aware of what was going on, do you think?
I think he didn't care as long as he was making enough money.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer.
Because Elvis also, he liked the money, okay? I mean, it was spending it some people said, well, Parker stole a lot of money from Elvis. That is true. But if Elvis had more money, it would have gone out as soon as he came in. All right? So to me, that doesn't change that thing, okay? So there was a flaw in Elvis, too. I mean, he was, as I said, he didn't like confrontation. He didn't like to fight. And something happened in the 70s. I mean, he just lost it, you know?
It's a modern day tragedy in a way.
Yeah, it's a modern day tragedy. It's a Greek tragedy too. I mean, they were all there. You know, his mother that passed away. If his mother hadn't passed away, everything would have been different. Yeah. Because she's the only one who would have told Parker, "Come in, get out. I don't want to see you anymore." Mm. Already, she didn't want to sign the contracts in the beginning. She has to be pushed by Elvis and by her husband. You know. And Elvis' father, I mean, what can you say? I mean, he was more a groupie than he was a father, you know, as far as I know, you know, just.
That's a very interesting topic.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he was an educated man. I mean, he was very famous to be lazy, you know. I mean, when he was young, he couldn't stay in the job in more than a few weeks. I mean, he signed that check that you have to be stupid to think that it wasn't going to go through, you know. And he find himself in that penitentiary, what is it, Angola or something like that, yeah?
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I have a question for you. Because me, I was a fan since the beginning. You came, what, two-thirds?
Yeah, I was born in 1971, so you know, the one thing that I'll always be grateful for is the Blue Hawaii soundtrack. My mum loved Hawaii, and being from Australia, we didn't have, you know, all the things. And Hawaii looked this obvious location, and my mum saw Blue Hawaii. She took my grandparents to see Blue Hawaii. So the Blue Hawaii album is in the record player.
Oh, okay.
So I play it and I'm like, oh, this guy's pretty good. And then you start seeing some of the movies on TV, and that's partly, you know, why I love the movies so much, because out here they used to play them all the time. So one week he'd be, you know, this tourist guide in Hawaii. Next week he's a carnival worker and a roustabout. Then he's in a harem. Then he's a ski instructor. And then he's a cowboy. And I'm thinking, who's this guy? What can't he do? And then you hear the music and you're like, whoa. I've got to know more about this guy. And since that day, all I want to do is know more about him. And like you said, I mean, what's 46 years after he died, there's still stuff I need to know.
Now I understand more why we're into the movies, because they were your introduction to Elvis. I mean, you got to know him through the movies.
Yeah, and I would watch, and when the video cassettes, you know, first started being available in the early 80s, I mean, to actually have a walking, talking Elvis to be able to watch whenever you wanted, I mean, that was a pretty, and the one movies I was watching were, you know, were things like Speedway and Frankie and Johnny. These were playing on TV all the time. And it was only later that you know, you realise about the 68 special and the American sound.
And the rest,
like,
yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
But Blue Hawaii, I mean, the soundtrack, I mean, I love it. I thought it was very good.
I'm actually doing a podcast with Jerry McLafferty from the Elvis Film Society soon. And one of the things that I want to talk to him about is, we were talking about, you know, Parker gave him an opportunity to do a movie like Flaming Star that is so good, but he puts it out within a month of G.I. Blues coming out. Now, G.I. Blues is this monster hit. Of course, Flaming Star's not going to have a chance. So while on one hand, Parker can say, Elvis, I gave you this dramatic role, but G.I. Blues did so much better. Well, of course it is. It's competing with it.
Yeah, and I mentioned that in the book about Parker, and I wonder if Parker didn't do it on purpose. Because you're right, G.I. Blues was still high in the charts. I mean, The LP was doing very well, was still in the charts, and the movie was still playing, and he released Flaming Star without a lot of publicity.
And then when they do, there's a picture of Elvis with the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's those.
On the other end, I mean, I think Parker and Earl Wallis, I think they were right to want Elvis to sing in the movies, because Elvis was a singer.
Yeah.
And even me, I mean, would I've gone and see Elvis in the movie if he was not singing? I don't know. One thing that pissed me off, just talking about the movie, is that in France, I saw Fleming Starr. And in France, I mean, you're not going to believe this. In the movie, they dubbed the songs that he sings.
They did.
So it's a French guy that's singing, a cane and a starved collars. I mean, next time you dub Jay Last Rock, you know? I mean, just I tell you, there are those. So.
That's a good story.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, what were they thinking, you know?
Well, let's close this down by just asking, if you had to pick one favorite Elvis song, what is it?
Listen, if I come from a family of four boys and two girls, and if you had asked my parents to pick up your favorite son or girl, I mean, what would have they said? I mean, there are so many songs that I like. There are too many songs that I like, and one day I'm gonna like one, and the week after, I mean, the songs, a lot of the songs that I like is the song that it, because he was, I mean, his voice was just velvet at that time, you know. It's the songs from Elvis Is Back and Something for Everybody and His Hand in Mine, and I mean, I can listen to anything that's part of you, or Starting Today, and it just grabs me here all the time, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, he's so perfect. And another funny story is that a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple of months ago, Rolling Stone had a list of the best singers in the history of music. And they have... it's so funny. And they have Bob Dylan ahead of Elvis as a singer, okay? I'm not talking as a songwriter, all right? I mean, you have to be crazy, okay? Ahead of Elvis and Frank Sinatra, Bob Dylan, I like him. I like him as a writer, but he's not a singer, okay? Do you singing Are You Lonesome Tonight, or anything that's part of you, or If I Can Dream, or In the Ghetto, or Suspicious Mind? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, let's go back to that point I was saying about the respect that Elvis is not shown most of the time.
And it's true. I find it's very true in the United States. But, for example, the English fans or the Australian fans or the fans in Europe are more loyal to Elvis than they are in this country. Or maybe not the fans, but the people who talk about Elvis, you know.
Yeah, there's a different. I mean, we had the exhibition out here last year. They had a Graceland exhibition. It's about 2 hours from me, and it was sold out nearly every day. And that same exhibition is going to London. You just sort of think, wouldn't that be good to go through America? But would it be supported as well in the UK? It's a shame. Well, look, Paul, we could talk about Elvis for hours, but we should actually ask you about where can we get hold of some of your books.
Yeah, I mentioned it. If you're looking for the book on Bill Black, you would have to go to Memphis Mansion. So if you type on the computer Memphis Mansion, then you'll get the address. And the others are on Amazon.
Are just on Amazon, are they? Well, I'll definitely if people check the link in the description bar of the podcast, I'll have a link that'll go straight to.
On Amazon, there some of them are under Paul Bellard. And a couple of them are under just Bellard. I don't know why, but that's the way it is. And if you put Paul Bellard, the ones under Bellard don't appear. But I don't know why. But they're all on Amazon.
No worries, Paul. Look, thank you
so much. If somebody wants a signed copy and numbered copy, they can ask me, send me an email, you know, and you have my email. So
yeah, we'll put that in the description bar. But look, Paul, it's been great to talk Elvis with you today. Good luck with all your books. And when the Colonel one comes out, we'll definitely get you back to have a chat.
Okay, so I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Paul.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Elvis Cast. Subscribe or follow the show on your podcast platform of choice. Just search for Elvis Cast. All the links and contact information can be found on my website, elviscast.com.
If you'd like more information about this episode's special guest, check out the show notes in the description. Thanks for listening to The Elvis Cast.